Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party. I'm Philip Gilfus, joined as always by my co-host Darren Moser and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, any Star Trek adventures happening to you this week?
It's always an adventure with Star Trek.
I've been continuing my TOS rewatch, and I watched The Menagerie Parts 1 and 2, which is very interesting, of course. It's the only, obviously, the only TOS two-parter. So, you know, been interesting to have to wait that week or however long, you know, in 1969 or whatever. But I also thought it was interesting, you know, considering that obviously there was no news like we have now. So, like, think you're watching your show, you know, that you usually watch, and they just have randomly footage of characters younger that you've never, you know, because they didn't know there was a pilot, right? 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that they didn't use. And so you're watching The Menagerie and you're getting clips of the cage, which, of course, you don't know that.
Right.
And it was like blowing your mind. Like, how is.
And then it ends, but the story isn't over. Yeah. You have to come back next week. It's like, what?
I mean, just imagine you're watching, you know, another show and suddenly they're like, oh, yeah, here's a flashback of, you know, 3 years ago when they were younger. And like, when did they film that? but it did make me think about the Spock character a little bit more, so, because it's all about his relationship with Captain Pike, and so if you try to fill in with what you know of Discovery, you know, it's interesting. So.
That's true.
Yeah, some parts gel better than others.
They do.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to any more of the Picard, the tie-in novel yet, but.
I started it.
It's been a busy week, so. But I've listened to some, so it's been good so far. So far, it's him just getting his. Well, I won't spoil things, but basically, he's like getting ready. You know, he's it's because it's all about him taking on the task of, you know, saving the Romulans. So as we could expect.
Mm-hmm. All by his lonesome.
All by. Well, this is when it's back, like, officially as sanctioned.
You know, just you two talking about that, those two topics back to back makes me think. I wonder if and how and when they will address Spock on Picard. Because both of them, presumably they were both kind of working towards the same goal. They must have known that. They must have... Like, you would think, right? They were both aware of the impending destruction of the wormhole, or the Romulan star.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same event. They were both working for it in different capacities. And of course, obviously, you don't want them just to go and somehow feature Spock because of, you know, Leonard Nimoy is no longer with us. But I wonder if they'll address that at all.
No, I don't think they will. I mean, but it would be an interesting name check, as you said, because it seems, and we'll get into this, but it seems to me, you know, I was joking, but that it is only Picard that was doing anything about the Romulan problem. Like, no one else is, you know, mentioned. It was just him and his ship and Rafi. That was all.
So nothing even in the books or the comics or anything, huh? No mention of Spock.
I mean, outside of the countdown, you know, refer to 2009.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, presumably it's sort of a Kirk situation where they think he probably just died, right? I mean, he just disappeared, right? They don't.
That's true. Technically, this Prime Universe has no knowledge of the events that became of the movieverse,
right? But you would think, in a lot of ways, even if that's the perception of Spock, and I don't know how far we want to get on this thing, but there would be more respect for what the Federation has done, because now we would have sacrificed at this point one of its great heroes for this cause of saving the Romulans.
True. That's true. They could go at that angle.
And was Spock aware of the synthetic attack on Mars? Because that happened before the destruction of Romulus. So was he going against orders? Because they get all they stop this entire plan. Anyways, I'm like,
it'd be interesting to, because I did not watch 2009 in any recent time period. to hear how it's phrased about right. what happened.
I mean, I remember they said in the movie that the star went nova earlier than expected.
Yeah.
Like they were planning and the red matter would have worked, but it went nova too early and then almost sounded like he was en route to do it and then yeah. it went nova before he even got it. So it was like really close.
Yeah. I don't know. Might be a good thing to revisit. But what we're going to visit today is, of course, Stardust's City Rag, the latest episode of Star Trek Picard, the one which I dubbed would be the worst episode ever just by watching the trailer, and we'll see if that was in fact or not true at all. So not to color what my review will be, so the phrasing of the question will probably be troubling. But anyway, if I can ask you to imagine for a moment, and this is sort of a discovery exercise, that this is just a random episode.
I thought we were talking about Star Trek Picard, not Discovery.
But, well, this is a discovery exercise because pretend this is just a random episode of television. What did you think? What would you think of this episode if it was just a regular, like, let's watch, you know, Space Journey Picard, you know, it's a regular television episode.
So if like this was the first week you tuned in and
yeah,
you were
just like
using
a random episode. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to gauge though, because that's not how TV's done anymore. Especially.
No. Like, I mean, like it's just, someone just shows, this is just a random show and they just showed you this episode.
Like if you didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. This is an episode of television. How would you all think of this episode? Don't know. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because to me, it was a good episode when I watched it. And then I thought about it more and then things changed. So let's get into it. Primarily, this is a 7 episode because 7 shows up at the beginning of the last episode. And for all we know, leaves at the end of this episode and may never see her again. We don't know.
Well, she leaves anyway. A calling card. So we'll definitely yes. see her again for sure.
But yeah. We don't know. So anyway, but Daniel, as 7's whole episode, what'd you sort of think of 7's run in this episode?
It's interesting that you ask me this question first because I don't know. I don't know that it's settled with me all the way. Like from what we get, how do I answer this question without like addressing everything that's happened in the episode? But like the end, when she comes back down, I liked it. I did. I liked it. It brought 7 to a place very unexpected. We would have expected it, as our Star Trek fandom has always existed and how it exists in a bubble. We would have expected 7 to be in Starfleet, science officer of the Voyager B, and with the same crew and all the same people. But of course, it's not how things work. That's not how real life works. And that's fine. If they want to bring these characters into different, unique places, I'm cool with that. And so 7 having this sort of, having this problem, this issue to deal with, is interesting, is different than I would have expected to see a situation that 7 was in. And but ultimately I don't know if it's satisfying. I other than saying I wish 7 had a happier ending, and of course we don't know her actual ending, but I don't know. I'm glad to see her. I like that she's growing still, and she's still in this process of growing. I love the scene between her and Picard where they talk about their Borgdom. I think that's the highlight of the episode for me, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you think? Like that scene where she does what she does, where we might think, oh, okay, I understand why she does it. It's tough to say that fits in the sort of Star Trek that we understand it. But.
I'll very briefly, because I want Darren to, but very briefly, when as a scene, again, this is one of those I thought about later, but you know, in as much as the scene, you know, how do you feel about the Borg? Oh, did you ever get your humanity back? Oh, did you get all of it? Makes sense, feels like it's emotional. But then I thought about it, because they're using the loss of humanity as a stand-in for her being driven by revenge. But that's not what the Borg do. They take away your individuality. So the humanity that you feel lost is not that you're angry and you like killing people. Like that's, it's more like that you don't have individuality, that you long to be told what to do, that you, you know, that's, and so it's, I thought it was like a rhetorical device that when you drill down into it, actually doesn't make sense about what the Borg do to you. But no, it's just my two cents.
See, I looked at, if we're going to just actually break this down, I looked at it as a, in a wider context. I didn't think of it in terms of, I didn't think they were talking in terms of this specific situation. I just thought of it in terms of Seven comes to, she stops and she comes to Picard and she knows if anybody's going to understand, he would. And I think that it's just a, like as a whole, like this entire journey for both of them. I see what you're saying and maybe it makes more sense in terms of the episode, but this feels like a wider conversation that we've always wanted to see between Picard and Seven. And it's more about like, it's a struggle. Like Seven doesn't know what to do. Sometimes Picard doesn't know what to do. And that they've both gone through this traumatic experience. At least they have someone that they could talk to. You know, if you're going to have 2 seconds to talk to someone, that's a good person to talk to about this sort of thing. So.
Well, and I feel, again, yeah, it's a great scene. And I read a couple of articles that some other people had written about that scene and about the episode. And they had some good points where, you know, Picard, you know, when she's talking about, you know, they're talking about humanity and how much did you get back and all of that. But Picard kind of already had his moment of being up against the wall. And that was what we saw in First Contact. That was the, you know, and I will make them pay for what they've done. And he's moved past that. Seven has not so much. Like you were saying, Philip, it's not so much that she was mad at the Borg, is that she was mad at this woman and what she had done to like her family and her kind, basically. But she's not quite at the same place where Picard is as far as his acceptance and where he's moved on from, you know, his Borg experience. And again, she also had a very different experience being assimilated at a young age and all the, you know, interactions she's had with the collective and whatnot. But I think, you know, it's a great, you know, very poignant little moment. I see what you're saying, Philip, though, and that's not exactly what the Borg do, but I kind of read it as, you know, how much humanity, you know, do you have left? Or you know, I'm paraphrasing heavily, but a bit more so that she is still going back for revenge. Because that is not a, in Star Trek, that is not a desired trait of humanity. Like she still has that and she shouldn't be, we shouldn't be governed by revenge. We shouldn't be, you know, it should be justice and other like you Picard speeches.
Banned an entire species because a minority instigated
some violent action. Starfleet makes tons of bad decisions in this show, but yes. Okay. But I think definitely we all will agree that this scene, whether or not it plays out exactly as, you know, as we're expecting, is definitely a great scene. I mean, you know, there's that, and there's, I'd say also my second favorite scene of this episode was Raffi and her son. A ton, you know, acting powerhouse right there, like just communicating that sense of loss and fear and regret. And you know, Raffi's not the best mom, apparently, that she's kind of kept her tinfoil hat on too tight for, I mean, justifyingly so, but we see the impact of that and the fallout of that and why she really wanted to go to this city to Free Cloud.
New Vidaron City.
Vertiform City.
Yeah, we'll get to her story. But I just want to talk a little bit about more Seven. You know, I mentioned in the prior episodes about, you know, oh, they just mentioned this Rangers thing. Are they going to follow up? And they did. They you know, which I said was fine. You know, I was willing for them to be like, they can just throw stuff out and explain it later. And they did. But, you know, Darren, did you think, you know, or did you have zero expectations about that, you know, Seven, you know, from post Voyager to now, that this would be what her life is?
She's from Voyager.
Babylon 5 all over again.
I didn't really go into Picard with any sort of expectation for any of the characters because it's so far time-wise from the last time we saw these characters. And, you know, I'm wanting them to paint the picture of where's the Federation, what is the, who's the big bad, what's at stake, you know, how are the politics, you know, all those things that we enjoy in Star Trek. So I didn't really, you know, feel like, I mean, we were joking kind of last week of like, is she going to name drop Chakotay and their, you know, their little son or whatever, like who knows, but it obviously is, that's not the direction they took her.
I was yelling at the TV to say Voyager for 30 minutes and then they finally said it.
So. She did. She finally got there.
Well, so let's get into the nitty gritty. Cause like I said, we'll talk Seven here for a little bit. Because that's the whole story. I mean, it's 3/4 of the story. There's other stuff, but that's basically it. So we get Icheb, you know, or the end of Icheb. We hardly knew ye. Now Daniel, you hate Borg children. No, I'm kidding. I mean, you do, but I'm, as you know, Icheb specifically, and then broadly Seven's backstory up to now.
I would say it was effective because it was somewhat shocking to realize where they were going with it. I mean, he dies in the first minute, which is, whatever. I mean, Star Trek characters have had less, you know, resolution than that before. And it's not like Icheb was a major player or anything like that. And this was entirely to set
you're
up.
Just a little teenager the last time I saw him. And now you're, you know, gutting him.
Well, he was. And so apparently, right, he was a full-blown officer on that ship.
A lieutenant, if I saw it briefly, but it doesn't matter. But yes.
Yes, right, right. He was a lieutenant.
So that's good. I mean, of course, it's sad. It's sad to be like, oh, man, we watched him for the last, I think he was only in season 7, right? That they were only in season 7. Or
maybe a little bit longer, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we watched them for a few episodes in Voyager, and it's like, and yeah, I don't know. It was more, to me, it was just, it's not what I expected. It's so weird. It's just not at all what I would have thought to put in there. I'm shocked and surprised that they're like, that's a deep cut. Icheb is a deep cut, right? And they recast him for.
They're not going to gouge out Naomi's eyes next season episode. Early.
Who knows? Well, this also could be a signal that nobody's safe, right? Maybe there will be a major character that we see that's been killed off screen or whatever. But mm-hmm. if we want to believe in this universe, in this world, good things are going to happen to bad mm-hmm. people. Bad things are going to happen to good people, and bad things have happened to people up and down Star Trek. So. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it feels cheap to some people because it's so quick and it's just like we cut two and then snip, snap, and then we're done. And I don't know, but it's not like Icheb was anybody's favorite character anyways, right?
Well, and just briefly, because, you know, we don't have to make a whole meal of this, the eye thing. So I didn't watch the episode until like 3 days or 2 days after it aired, which Twitter, you're terrible, but that's fine. I know the life I live. But anyway, but there was much, at least in my corner of the Star Trek Twitterverse, talk about the AI thing. So, but that's all to say, I was 100% prepared. So like I sat with my wife Jessica, I'm like, so there's going to be a thing apparently. So you know it, I know it. So we're going to watch this thing knowing there's going to be a thing. Okay. And I feel like having known that, it was quote unquote fine. I mean, was it? It doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, as a viewing experience, okay, I knew what it was going to. But like, either of you know what was going to happen? And if you didn't, what was the experience like?
So after watching this episode, I went on our shared group chat, you know, with the network, and there's the spoiler section, you know, where you can post about things like this that are still out. And I was just kind of like stream of conscious, you know, kind of my feelings. And I said, just like, this episode was a lot of ups and downs. Like, I hated the beginning. Like, I did not need to see that. I get why they did it. I get like, we're making this connection to Seven and, oh, look, she's losing her son. She says son, you know, and all that. But I'm just like, I don't need to see someone's eye ripped out of their, like, not even like implied, but like specifically shown someone's eye removed and you know, scream of torture and pain. I'm like, okay, like what is this? Is this making it more impactful to Seven that we get to see this? You know, I don't know. So I did not like that scene. It's honestly the first, like even parts of Discovery, like it's probably the first part of this latest wave of Trek where I've been like, do I even want to watch this episode anymore?
Like, yeah, I mean, outside of the, not that it's graphic, but like the Klingon.
Right. That's the only other scene I can think. Yeah. That's the only other scene I can think of.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was, you know, was kind of really turned off by that. And eventually, you know, the episode did get better and had good moments in it, but yeah, it was not a good way to start the episode for me. I did not like it. And honestly, if I was to watch this episode again, I would just skip it because I don't really want to watch that again. And that's just me. That's not everyone's sensibilities, but it was not good in my book. It, I think they could have still had the scene. They could have still had the impact without having to go into torture
porn. A little more shadow.
It's like Star Trek has shown people suffering before. And I don't know if it was like the agony or the screams or just how you weren't really like shrouding anything. Again, I don't know really what it was that I didn't like, but I don't know. I felt like you could have told it in a better way and still had the impact. But that was just my opinion.
Daniel, big deal, no big deal.
I watched it twice. And
oh, really? Time, why?
I always watch it twice. You
know? Okay.
The first time was much more impactful. I just don't like eye stuff in general because it makes me really squeamish. But other than that, the second time it's super tame. Like it's like
that's what I said. Knowing again, I didn't know it. I was watching the first time, but just like 100% prepared. This because you know I was over expectations. Like it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bit bad. You know, hand in front of my eye in case of whatever. So, but yeah, if you didn't know.
Yeah. Like you say you'd want to skip it, Darren, but I bet you if you watch it again, you'd be like, okay. I mean, you might still not like it, but I don't think you would be as.
I think for me, it's less on the visual because I know that's not. I know it's not real. It's right. More the sound, like the sound of someone, like without
pain,
anesthesia, just like you know, being in agony. Like I don't like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay. No, I don't. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, like I said, we don't need to. But anyway, so moving on. But again, with the Icheb thing, I thought it was because of the backstory of Voyager, especially, I can't remember the name of the episode, one where like he donates
his cortical node.
There you go. So that was a very big episode for those two.
Well, and that was a nice tie-in where she's like the surgeon is trying to look for the cortical node, but he doesn't have one because he gave it to Seven.
Yeah.
but you know, so like, you don't need to, I guess, have seen Voyager to know they have a close relationship, but it helps. But you know, whatever. That was the closest thing I had to sign. You don't have to explain it. I mean, it might help if you know Zero, I suppose. But
I will tell I've been watching Picard through with my girlfriend, and I asked her, "What did you think of this episode?" She goes, "She's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to have already known about and not, but it's all very confusing." Like, because I had to stop and be like, this was Icheb, and this is Seven, and they had a relationship, and blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, okay, well, then what about Picard and Seven? I'm like, well, they knew each other, I guess, but we don't know how. She's like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to have known and what I'm not. Very confusing.
Yeah, that's... And we... I mean, you can go as long as you want, but how do Picard and Seven know each other? I mean, I guess, theoretically... You could argue that all Borg know each other, which is kind of specious. But I mean, just because of the being connected, like theoretically, they could know it. Like you literally could know everyone, like who's ever been a Borg,
right?
Who was, as long as you were, you know, in the network at the same time, you'd be like, oh yeah, you're.
Well, that's a good point because, excuse me, because Best of Both Worlds took place before, you know, Scorpion. Technically, she was part of the collective when he was assimilated.
Yeah, she's a little Borg ball. And then what do you all? I forget the villain. I'm quoting it. The villain's name.
The one who looks like young Marita Sirtis.
That's the one. But what do you think of the implied backstory? Because they don't, you know, they allow us to kind of connect some dots on our own, but the implied storyline between Seven, Annika, as she calls her, and the bad girl. I'm sure she has a name. As far as, you know, she's the villains, you know, trading in Borg parts for an unknown reason, which I don't need a reason. I can guess. But, you know, for unknown reasons and somehow befriends or, you know, what where in the spectrum their relationship went, you can tell me.
I would say there was definitely romantic undertones. I don't
the
know.
The use of the name, I think, is probably belied that.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it is, but I don't know. Maybe we'll learn more later on or not, but she was, I would say, sufficiently villainous. She didn't seem to be very...
Though I did. I'm not accusing anyone of unoriginality, but just having, like, the bad villain have a bar... It just seems like that's a thing. It's been done.
Oh, did she own that bar? I didn't even realize.
I assumed. But anyway.
By the way, and just really quick, Philip, I don't know if you have this in the notes, but her henchmen can smell lies. Did you know that? I'm not sure if you're aware.
They did mention that a lot.
Well, I actually took a little thing before the podcast, and it'll kick in, and I think during the middle, or whenever it needs to know that
I'm aware. Whenever the plot requires.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I'm just going to, you know, like I said, all of seven here. And this is a criticism of the episode. Because, you know, you get the penultimate ending part, you know, with, like you said, Picard and Seven. And, you know, I stopped you. I pulled a Janeway. I had you do the right thing.
But he totally knows what she's going to do, taking the two phaser rifles off and beaming back down. She's like, oh, yeah, my crew's totally here. And it's like, he knows.
I get that, but I just thought he was, you know, can I have your phasers? And, like, it's not really his phasers, it's Rios. And he's like, you know, okay, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really approve of violence, but whatever, I guess. I'm not your dad. Right, so
maybe you can clear that up, because you get the sense that Picard absolutely knows what she's going to do.
Oh, see, I didn't get that, but go ahead.
I kind of got that, like, a little bit. Because he's like... Because he pauses for
a second. He pauses for like a beat. And then he's like, of course. Like, not like in an approving way, but in a like, I'm not going to stop you.
Like, he's just resigned to it. He's just like, yeah, okay, fine.
Like, you're going to, like, she could go take them off the wall and he can't even, like that would be her next step, would be just to take them.
Right. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he just knows he's not going to stop her. But it's just weird, because even, you would think Picard would lecture her a little bit.
Well, he did.
He did. Maybe he knows that's the best he can do, I guess. I don't know.
But I guess I didn't... Okay, this is where I'm going to push my agenda. I didn't know what lesson I'm supposed to learn from the episode, and guess what? The answer probably is there is no lesson. It's an episode of TV, which is what I was alluding to at the beginning. Because I thought Star Trek was supposed to have a message, and this one seems to be, you know what, shit happens, you should really revenge. Yeah, you know what, we're imperfect humans, what do you want? And I'm like, okay, that's life, I guess. I don't really know how that's...
If you've been through something traumatic enough, it's totally worth revenging. Like, that's kind of what they're saying.
Yeah, I didn't...
Yeah, it does feel... super unresolved. Like, it's like...
No, she died. That's a...
She died. Well, we don't know what happened to Seven. We don't, like, is she going to pay a price for this? I agree. It doesn't feel like a lot of times there seems to be no... It's very surface level with what they're kind of writing here. It doesn't... Not a lot of depth. And it's just like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if Seven just pulled out two phaser rifles and just shot at a bunch of people? And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's cool. But like, not really. I don't know, where's it going? Like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause this is going to sound like I'm joking, but I'm not. So like, I watched it and was like, okay, well, that was an episode. And then, you know, because we live in this age, I see Twitter, I read things, and it kind of turned me, right? You should have your own opinion. But I was reading some takes. I'm like, oh, they do have a point. And so I was just kind of like, you know, the answer could be, it's not the only time we're going to see Seven. But if this is the Seven episode, right, and this is how you're going to use her, and I'm like, that was kind of a waste to me.
I mean, well, again, I felt like we see Seven. Well, we see Seven because, again, it's his Picard show. So it's really, she's here for this moment, connecting with Picard, and honestly, maybe she could even be there to just remind the audience and bring up a reason to remind them that he was once a Borg, because Borg are a big thing.
Because we're going there next week.
Yep. Well, guys, we haven't been to the cube. We didn't even see the cube at all this week. Like, I totally forgot what it was there.
Well, dude, we had the seventh episode. So.
But in terms of that, like, in terms of, like, what's the lesson here? What's the long-term impact? What's going to happen? What is even – what's the point of seven? Like,
yeah.
I can even – and they set up the teaser for her to come back. She gives him the whatever it is.
Her business card.
The seven button. I don't know what it is. but like, even if she comes back – it's like she's already like mostly selflessly giving of herself out there. It's not like she learned something from Picard and she's going to come back at the last minute, like Han Solo, and save the day. Like, it's not like she's been impacted by Picard in any meaningful way. I don't know what the point is. Like, we're not, like, she's not learning something from revenging. She's done her revengeances and it's done. Where
she basically manipulated Picard to have her revenge. Like, yeah. That's basically what she did.
So yeah. I don't know what satisfying follow-up would be. Like, she might come in with her double phaser blasters and blast everybody, but, like, that's not satisfying in any real meaningful way. I don't know. I mean, I want to see more of her, but I just don't know how they follow up this really sad tale and how do they make it better. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was ultimately disappointed. I mean, you know, I wasn't angry. I was disappointed. So it's like, I don't hate the episode. I'm just like, I mean, the more I thought, I'm like, what was the point of any of this? But, so let's go into some non-seven material. So staying with sort of this main plot, revenge plot. We'll get to the other stuff later.
Caper. It's a caper.
Yeah, the caper. revenge caper. So so they have the fancy dress party. So yeah. Guys, we saw the teasers going into what the costumes would be, you know, with Rios as Big Pimp Daddy and JL as like... a bad guy
in bad Julian Bashir's
in the holodeck program. Yeah,
pretty much.
And so, I don't know, what did you guys think of, you know, their turns playing?
It was fun. I mean, I think they did enough explanation of like, oh, this is this kind of like go-between type person and they act like this. Like, I bought it. Like, again, it's television. They can say whatever they want, but, you know, but they
First
painted...
Amendment, you know.
Well, no, but I mean, I felt like they painted enough of a reason behind it that it didn't really feel contrived, but and it was, you know, obviously, again, I like that because it did show us more about Rio's character. Like, that's not him, that's not his personality type. He's not what's it called,
facer.
He's not a facer. No, I was thinking back to like Next Gen. He's not Okana, you know, he's not like ready to swab into the room. And then, you know, we got a lot of Bruce Maddox, you know, we got but I'm saying we also got, you know, just Free Cloud, and that was just a lot of fan service and fun and pop-up ads of the future. And
That was funny. I mean, it was stupid funny, like, but
Elnor was
like,
why did I not get one? And they're just like, eh, whatever, you know. But
it's because you're too boring of a character to have any sort of defining.
They trait. Know you have no money, so they didn't try. But
now, is Elrond the Drax, the destroyer of this group? Because
he kind of is.
He doesn't understand.
No, he kind of is.
I will say, I wish, honestly, like, if you go back and watch the promo of this episode, you will think this entire episode is a caper, fun,
like, it's like, nope, not the way it starts. Yeah.
There's
dark,
10 minutes of that.
Death.
Yeah.
There's 10 minutes of that. And maybe this is a cause, a casualty of 10 episodes. But I wish they had 11 episodes if they just stretched this fun out into one episode. I would have loved for them to have, because it feels so superfluous and empty and nothing is there, because it only happens. It's the one scene between Rios and Lizard Dude.
Well, honestly, the entire episode is to have Maddox say at the end, this is where she is.
Yeah.
Pointless, but like, that is the one piece of information that moves the plot along. Everything else is just to get there.
Well, because to me, it seemed, well, and obviously, you know, disagree, please. But like, it seemed to me we've built up, this is what, episode six?
Yes.
For five episodes,
This is episode five. This is episode five.
Okay, yeah. For four episodes, it's been Bruce Maddox. We got to find Bruce Maddox. And of course, he dies at the end. We'll get to that.
He's Spock's shuttle. We've all talked about this.
I called it. I said he's going to die right away. Okay.
So, like, we see him for 2 seconds. Well, I'm longer than that, but 10 seconds at the beginning of, which actually I thought was so surprising. Like, I mean, okay, we get the Jedi, but after that, we get Maddox. Like, they just threw it there. Maddox. I'm like, I thought it was a little more subtle than that. Like, yeah. We discover him. And I was like, oh, no, here he is. It's Maddox. And that's not the actor who played it. And I had to look it up. And then when I looked it up, I spoiled what was going to happen because then I was looking up. I was Googling Bruce Maddox, Star Trek Picard. And the first article was like, why did Agnes kill Bruce Maddox? I'm like, well, F you, Internet.
There's a rookie okay. mistake there, Philip.
I guess.
Well, I'm sure
that's not the actor.
Well, the actor retired, I believe. I think he's like teaching. That's what I had read, that he's not acting anymore and he's teaching. Not and that was the main money. Reason that he wasn't he wasn't in this. He doesn't.
To me was unsatisfying, but of course it's, we don't know an answer, but let's get in, let's go ahead and skip to the end.
Well, then. we spend a lot of, I kind of agree with you as far as the satisfaction. Like, I felt like we were spending more, we were meant to view Maddox through the lens of Agnes, and I was much more interested in Picard and Maddox spending more time together because, because, you know, has Maddox grown? Has he changed from his time in Measure of a Man when he was so sure of himself and all of that? And we didn't really get anything out of that. It was just
crazy,
like,
beard, and that was it.
Yeah, it's like, I made it, you know, like, I would have loved for like one scene where, because obviously Picard's not like, oh, how dare you create this artificial life? You know, no, he's trying to save her. But I think there should have been a passing of the torch moment where Maddox knows that Picard's going to do what, well, because obviously Maddox, we know Maddox built them and we know Maddox sent them to those two locations for a reason. So
to find out the conspiracy.
The conspiracy of the eight.
We know his motivation. Yeah. And we know apparently more about what we knew before. The episode does have a lot of smaller.
Yeah.
Subtler.
All the extra stuff around the Seven arc is actually really good stuff. It's actually, that stuff is more for the plot than anything else.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
for the overall plot.
This feels to me like deja vu with Discovery of like,
yeah.
It's like it's sacrificing everything for the sake of plot.
Melodrama.
Everything for the sake of plot. And it's like you said, Darren, I would have loved to have seen, even if it was like the same length of conversation that Picard had with Seven, have a conversation with Maddox about Data. Like, there you go. Set up, but they're so
Man, I'm just picturing like Maddox being like, I miss him.
Anything, right?
No, but like if he starts off like just like saying I miss him, like he's talking about Data, and you know, because obviously it really is impactful, it's still impacting Picard, Data's death, and you know, we could see the other side of that where Maddox is like, when he died, you know, I was almost ready to just quit, you know, or something like that. Just give us, man, that would have been great.
Yeah, he could have been like, do you know Picard that he told me this in his letters, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. He started talking about a date and it was really weird. He's just describing his day. I didn't ask him for it. He just sent it to me.
How's Brian doing? I guess he got married. I don't know.
It's just like, but it's like, we're in such a, and the thing is like this episode, it just feels all over the place for me, but like,
well, we're part five of our pilot where we're getting the game together.
Oh God.
But there's no, like you say, Philip, all build up, all about Maddox for 4 episodes. He comes in, he says his 3 lines about where the next point we have to go is and the motivation for sending people there. And that's it. He doesn't get to be a character. He doesn't get to say things or want things or have desires. He doesn't get to have, it's just so frustrating. I'm just like, 5 minutes, man, give us 5, then shoot him in the back. Who cares? Just give us something. It just feels like such a waste.
I also thought the, you know, when he first, and whatever, I'm obviously complaining, but so like, here it is. Okay. So like, how does he know villainous girl? We don't get any explanation. Just like, that's where I'm going to show up when I'm in trouble. The bad girl. She'll obviously help me.
Why were you there? That was a bad place to be.
Yeah. Cause they wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? that was not just because they're bad, right? That's what bad people do.
She was his financier for his lab, right? I guess, right?
Because... And then the Tal Shiar destroyed the lab.
Right.
And their insurance policies are not what they
apparently
are in the 20th century. So anyway, that was a little weird. Also, I thought his crazy beard was because he was on the run. And then when you saw a video of him from Agnes, he would look not crazy beard, but no, he's just crazy beard all the time. Okay, that's fine, I guess. Also, I'm going to point this out, and I will point this out every time, and that is also my soapbox. 20-year difference between those two actors. There, I said it. Okay. Never see it the other way around. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, so, that's a good point. She's kind of like the age that Maddox was in.
She's next 34. Gen. He's 52.
And he's like the boss and like in charge of the whole project.
Yeah, they've got some.
The ethics of the future are a little different.
Is that how she got her job, or the thing with positions of power? And we could go into a whole thing that we're not going to.
Well, they go there because they want to make it more impactful that she kills him, that she learned some great secret in. Now, this is my guess, is because we've seen in extra, I don't know if it was like teasers or whatever, but we've seen a shot of Commodore O mind melding with Agnes. And I think I've read Commodore O is a Vulcan. I don't think she is a Romulan. I think she is a who knows? Who cares? Knows?
She wears sunglasses.
But basically, I think that is when she revealed whatever knowledge that she, meant to, so that Agnes is like going to be on their side. Because it's like, okay, so apparently Agnes used to be the sleeper agent or something. I don't know.
I wonder if the secret is the Romulans created the Borg. I wonder if that might be the secret that she's hiding. Mm-hmm. It's going to be.
Yeah. And something, and whatever. I don't mean to be negative, but I'm going to say it. I don't think any explanation we get will make this jive. In other words, her lover, right? And we don't know how it ended. Were they lovers when he disappeared? Or was it that they break up? Don't know. But we, it's like you said, Daniel, it's important, right, that we got to know. But even if they weren't lovers, still would have made fine. That added nothing is what I'm saying. But anyway, so she got told something by the Commodore or melted or whatever. And it had to be so bad that for the whole episode, she's like, Maddox. And then like, it's Maddox. I should kill him.
Well, and here's my thought though, so is it that they're afraid he's gonna make another one, and that's what why does Maddox have to die? Because if it was the fact that he created
the deed's done,
if it's the fact that he created the destroyer, well, he already did that, but I don't know.
This is also the sloppiest way to kill anybody ever. First of all,
EMH won't tell anyone.
Yeah, that's the thing. Which, now to their credit, though, I did, again, reading some articles, they did point out the fact that the EMH can spontaneously show up if you're kind of acting strange. Like, he does that for her when she's freaking out over the transporter.
Right.
So all I'm saying is that the fact that he showed up right then at that moment wasn't like, why the heck did he just show up? But yeah, it's like, unless the beginning of next episode is her deleting the EMH's like memory, she's going to get outed.
And of course the immediate aftermath, I mean, she's not going to have time to erase all of her digital tracks. She literally turned the kill button on. Like, yeah. Everybody's going to know in like the next 30 seconds that he's dead. And whatever. I guess we'll find out. That's future problem.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be like, oh, well, he told the information, so we don't really care about
it. How is she trying to cover it up? Is she going to be like, oh, he was too injured and he died? Like, is that going to be her story?
I was talking with Seven, and she said, you kill the ones you love. That's the lesson I got from her. So, it was a messy killing. Yeah.
Like, it would have been better if she put on poisonous lipstick and gave him one last kiss, and then he dies.
So briefly, the EMH, awesome. God, I don't know why I'm falling in love with the holograms, but anyway,
all the different EMHs. They're so fun.
Yeah. Because I mean, as you said,
I want Spanish Pilot to come back. Spanish Pilot is my favorite.
They've obviously expanded the parody. So it's a R I T Y, of you know, was considered a health because, you know, the MH, you know, vital signs, but he was doing, like, you know, everything else. It's like the emergency psychiatric or the emergency holographic counselor. So I don't know why she was, I didn't understand why she was freaking out with her transporter job. Cause you know, it's not hard. I've seen it done. I mean, I guess I'm supposed to backwards read that maybe she's freaking out about Maddox, but like that doesn't even make sense in the context. It seems like in the context she's freaking about how to use a transporter pad, because when they beamed down the first time, I was like, maybe you should let her do it, have a trial run before it's a crisis situation, but they didn't. Someone else did it.
Well, that, and remember though, he, yeah, I don't know. It's and
then
weird.
And then the second or the last freak out, again, it's probably the same thing, having a panic attack or whatever. I like he ignoring there's a patient right there on the bed. He's like, what's going on with you? I'm like, there's a right there who's injured. Like, don't you know that he's been like, he's been there like an hour, you know? No. Okay. But anyway, so, but again, I guess it'll be explained, but it's just, I guess I was wanting to like that character. I mean, you know, they're going to, like I said, it's they're going to get some explanation and then, oh, we live Agnes again. She's great. I'm like, no, I mean, right now, I mean, is there any redeeming that character now?
No, I don't think so. No, what they'll try. They'll try with the fact that what she knew was so great that it justified it. And it's going to be something stupid. Like we've done that. We've been down this road before. I feel like it's, we'll see, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah. I put Agnes EMH WTF. That was in my notes. Okay. So let's, you mentioned this, Darren. And I agree with what you said earlier about Raffi. Great acting. Completely unnecessary. I don't know. But anyway, let's talk about the content before we get into the context.
I mean, I will say that in the scheme of this episode, yes, it's obviously a bottle episode inside this episode to move her plot along. But I think we're going to get payoff for that later on. You know, I think, you know, they, obviously she's a main player and her, I mean, they're establishing that her basically X-filesing into this on the deep end, you know, for this conspiracy, like it's showing the toll that took not only I'm pretty sure that's why she was fired as XO. Because it totally doesn't make sense, again, that you fire an XO because the admiral retired or, you know, whatever. But it's, you know, and I love, my favorite part of that scene is, though, I don't know if they even mentioned, I think they mentioned it, but the Romulan's, her name is Pell. Like, of course, yes. It's Pell. It's like Smith. It's like the most benign Romulan name ever.
And she's the most generic looking Romulan.
Oh, she looks like she stepped off of the bridge of season 2 of Next Gen. Awesome.
I was asking that. I was actually confused about whether she was Romulan or Vulcan, because the early TNG gives both. Well, there weren't that any Vulcans in TNG, right? Except for Solar. Because they didn't want to use Vulcans. But it has that such, like, a DS9 Vulcan, maybe. Like, you know, severe. I couldn't tell. I'm like, maybe it doesn't matter, you know.
No, she looked like a Romulan as soon as she walked out the door.
She had the thing is, like, they had the
her real bowl cut was like cut. Yeah, she had the V on the bowl cut.
But she had the ridges, too, so she was
okay, so she's a northerner.
She's a northerner, yes.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I actually don't mind this part of the episode because this is almost, I'm sure it's going to come up later, but this actually feels just like character development instead of just pure plot. And we get to learn, and it makes sense. And she's, you know, she's going and she's obviously had a strained relationship with her husband, who we don't know, and her son. And
she got clean, you know, she had some sort of, you know, dependency.
And I guess I don't know. I don't want to be a negator of storytelling, but, and I hate, I mean, pulling this card is such a stupid thing, but in the future,
yeah, no, I agree.
One presumes they don't have addiction anymore, especially on Earth. Yeah. And I don't.
Yeah. That bothered me too. Honestly, it did, because in a lot of ways, Picard has the world building of Picard is kind of torn down what we've understood about society.
Look, in the 25th century, there are sanctuary cities. It's totally cool.
I guess.
I know.
It's, definitely, it's, society it's actually, has taken a step back.
It's totally irrelevant to the the story here. Like, she could have just been off the rail, like, obsessive
right. about the conspiracy
theory and not yeah. and still been hurtful and neglectful. It's totally, it's such a weird scapegoaty type thing to do, to even try to pin it on drugs. Like, why even do that? It doesn't serve the character, doesn't serve the story. It feels unnecessary. I can see her being, because they even show in that scene how obsessive she is. Because as soon as he says, oh, what about the Council of Eight, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, and then she freaks out. No, wait a minute. That is real. You know, it was a really good scene and constructed in that way.
But the son played it really well too. Like, he was having none of it. He's like, mm-hmm. you can't just show up and be like, it's okay, I'm all good. And it's like, no, you're my whole childhood being crap is, you know, you can't just wave that away. And he's like, he sees right through her. He's like, you just happened to be here at Free Cloud, like, totally didn't track me down with your crazy conspiracies. So it was almost stranger that she just appeared back on the ship. What'd you get? I mean, makes sense. Like, I don't think, raise your hand if you were expecting Ralphie to no longer be in this show after this episode. What? No hands? Yes. But
yeah, I guess I got, and again, I 100% Darren, you know, good acting, good, but it's just like melodrama. And I don't say that in a bad way. Melodrama, you know, it's what people watch, Grey's Anatomy, or, you know, This Is Us, or, you know, Million Pieces. Those are all melodramas. They're all very popular. This melodrama of the Discovery and Picard now a little bit, I don't know. That's not why I'm usually here for Star Trek, is, you know, crying and I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not probably not expressing it very well, but I guess, you know, whatever. If people like it, people like it. But I guess that's just not, I didn't think that's the genre Star Trek was in, but maybe that's what it is now. So I just need to get over it, I guess.
Well, I mean, in a world where, like, people flock to shows like Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, and, you know, where it is hard for a Star Trek type show to not be influenced by that. Not saying it shouldn't, but, you know, this isn't TNG, and I'm not surprised it's not. I still feel there's some good parts about it, but
it just seems an out of time story that I've seen a million times. I've seen the junkie mom who abandoned her family and is acting. I've seen that. I've seen it on L-Word. I've seen it on ER. You know, I've seen that a million times. I don't know why we're doing it.
What social commentary are we making with
Star
this?
Trek? You know, okay. But anyway, I guess I was just like, okay. Oh, well. So again, as you can tell, it wasn't my favorite. But anyway, any other thoughts about Stardust City Rag?
We've got two Quark references in this episode.
Yep.
We actually see a Quark's Bar franchise on the thing. Mm-hmm. And
I would hate to know what the franchise fee is to license Quark's name.
And
you have to ask.
He clearly helped. They did some background checks in the 15 minutes between scenes.
I don't think he helped. I think they dropped his. I think they dropped his name because everybody knows Quark's.
Well, he said it checked out.
Yes, so, but I think they forged that. I personally don't think. I think they didn't have the time. I think they dropped the name, and because especially that you have a franchise on that planet. I mean, maybe they did, but I got the feeling that she was quickly creating their back history before they go down for the mission.
So that means one of two things to me, and I'm curious what you think it is. I don't know if they thought this much about it, but I did. So either when she was creating that backstory, she knows Quark. And so it was just an easy way to be like, okay, Quark.
Where do you think she got the drugs from?
Or Quark is so reputable and everywhere and well-known that was an easy way to get reputation points. And I'm curious which one that might be.
Also, we didn't really see that much of Free Cloud. What is this place? Is it just...
It felt very like anime.
Reno.
Like there's the Reno in space, the space Vegas.
Not the good one. It's not it's not space Vegas. It's space Reno. It's
space Reno. Wow.
It's not as, you know, good. And I don't know. I guess It just seems, and I'll shut up about this stuff, but like, you know, so we see this place, which is just, you know, Mos Eisley or, you know, whatever, like, but it was like, oh, and Discovery, we went to the Klingon place, which was all the bar with all the drug use there. I'm like, are we just doing Star Wars now? I mean, I don't know. There's no happy places we go to anymore, guys. It's just all dark rogue places where people shoot each other and do drugs. And that's all. That's my old man stuff. Okay. But anything else about this episode? Are you going to start wearing an eye patch now, Daniel? Darren, do you need a feather in your hat?
You know, again, I don't know about rewatchability. It felt the most like kind of one note middle of the road episode. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing that Borg cube. We got to get there, guys, real fast.
See, you guys are complaining about it so much now that it's not there. You would love to have some generic action.
I'm pretty sure we're there next week also, because the episode title for next week is The Impossible Box.
Right, which I assume is a TARDIS reference.
It's a Borg cube reference, obviously. Oh.
And they have Borg cube themed Rubik's cubes in the episode, because they showed it during the thing.
Oh my gosh. Like,
I see what you're doing there. I get it. That's cute, I guess.
And Quark built those, I'm sure. He's like, how can we make money off the Borg? Everybody loves.
What have I told you? Never make money off the Borg.
Don't promote the Borg. So, yeah. So, again.
All right.
I feel, you know, we would have wished more Maddox, less Angie, less, yeah, who knows. But.
Yeah, I negative, negative, I know. But, like, if there's only 10 episodes, this, you know, random route, you know, just doesn't. Okay. Anyway. So, okay, well, next week we got a lot to look forward to. Daniel, you called an episode or two back that we will see the sister struggle with identifying that she is a synthetic. So that is what they teased us, that which may or may not happen. So we'll figure it out. As all the storylines collide in episode 5, which, you know, we only got 10. So
episode 6.
Six.
Next week is 6. Yeah,
we only have 10. So
wait, what do they call her? Like 11 or 8 or something like that?
7, that's right. Yeah. And that was a good scene, though, because, again, you might not have people who know that Picard was once a Borg. They don't ever mention it until that moment. In this series,
everybody would know Picard.
No. No, I'm talking about viewers.
Oh yeah. No, you're right.
I'm like, that's there for viewers to know.
Yeah, totally.
And we did, in the teaser, we did get a Locutus.
That's right.
An in progress Locutus, not that's final right. form.
So. What do you think? It's going to be a flashback?
I think it's just him saying that the Borg is going to bring back memory. Or,
yeah.
Am I right, guys? Has every single episode started with a flashback?
Every single
one. Everyone has.
So, could it have a Locutus scene?
Oh, that makes way more sense that it's his flashback.
What if they have a Best of Both Worlds scene?
Oh, man.
That would be great. Oh. I'd love to see
it. I just want to see it to be the moment. It's like the moment where Riker fires on him and Locutus is like, ha ha, your beauty weapons do nothing to me.
I mean, I know that's ugly as I am stupid. Is that right, Riker?
I gave you the throat cutting motion.
Come on, Worf.
I know you gave me the "we're dead" motion. I totally agree with you. And that just proves that Galaxy Quest is the best, one of the best Star Trek episodes ever.
All right. Well, until next week in the Impossible Box, Daniel, where can people find your wardrobe choices, recommendations for like planets on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at @oneofdan. That's the number one, not the word, as in, hey, you only wear one eye patch, not two. Also too soon, hashtag Echeb.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, someone did point that out, that, like, Picard's all wearing the eye patch. Like, is that going to trigger 7? Like, my son lost his eye, Picard. How insensitive can you be?
But did he talk with this outrageous accent?
Yes, Lumiere, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And Darren, if people can want to reach you about your other ideas for emergency holograms, where can they find you?
Oh, I got a long list, guys, a long list. Actually, one of my emergency holograms is to generate lists just for me. But they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, D-R-S-C-I-F-I.
And if people want to talk to me about, hey, Philip, say positive stuff, they can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. But until next week and the Impossible Box, I'm Philip Gelfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.